Hello, friends. We are at Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 24A. We're in the Paths of Higher Evolution compilation, page 88, with about 30 or so pages to go in this compilation. We've been dealing with the archaic stanza from dealing with this path of the planetary logoi, and we've dealt with three different kinds of lords. It says the three times the eye of Shiva closes and three times it opens wide. Thus three great groups of lotus lords are impelled upon their way, and these are the adepts who are studying and preparing along this path of the planetary logoi. Obviously, they're not all at the same place. The first group of lotus lords was the group that is called the lotus lords of deep, unseeing sleep. And their dreams are taking form. The world is speeding on. The great and cruel Maya of the plains comes into being. And the points of unconnected light, that is, the monads who know not what they are and who work in ignorance and are unconnected with the planetary logos, or the souls, the consciousnesses who are unconnected with the monad, these are drawn into the snare. And they're lost in the Maya and they lose their luster. The eye through which these lotus lords contact the planes of cosmic vision is inward turned, and they see not that which is upon the outer rim. They do not see that which is in manifestation. They do not see any objectivity. And they are involved in a deep sleep of preparation in the lotus lands. The second group has for its name, not the lotus lords of deep unseeing sleep. Let us emphasize that one. Excuse me. But we'll now move to the second group and see how they differ. The lords of the inner lotus. Okay. And by the way, this question of cosmic vision, you know, the question is just how cosmic is the vision? Just how cosmic? Does it extend through the one about whom naught may be said? And take in the different chakras in his system, or does it take in the seven solar systems, of which ours is one, or does it take in what is happening within our solar system and on the other planets? Which are, after all, they are cosmic lords of a kind? Or does it simply take in our solar system in its cosmic dimensions? In its cosmic dimensions, because outside of our planetary system, outside of our solar system, lies that which we can call the astral and the mental body of our solar logos, and these are cosmic dimensions. The astral body and mental body of our solar logos are cosmic dimensions. So just how much is seen in this what are the planes of cosmic vision? And maybe these planes of cosmic vision are beyond the cosmic etheric planes. Because eventually the planetary logoi will have a cosmic mental a cosmic mental consciousness. So how much of that is developed in those adepts who are beginning on this path? I assume probably the adepts have to work their way towards cosmic mental consciousness. So the second group has for its name the Lords of the Inner Lotus. Remember that this group of this group of beings, once they are planetary logoi, they are concerned with developing the different planetary lotuses as expressions of the solar logos. These are they who sleep. In other words, they are, let's say, not connected with objectivity, but they do not sleep so deep. They wake enough to guard themselves from straying or the secret ring pass knot, which rims the great illusion. Well, every planetary gathering is a great illusion of a kind. Every gathering of lives together within a ring pass knot is a type of illusion. They straightly stand, and through their very steadfastness, the forms are held together. So this is, they ensure coherence of that which has been gathered. They are not completely unaware, uncaring, insouciant, as they say. They are not. They guard themselves, they stay within their boundaries, they stay within the due boundaries. Maybe in dreams one can be led beyond the due boundaries. Beyond the due boundaries, maybe. So they are not so deeply asleep, and the great illusion, of course, is the entire universe in a way, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Maya that is gathered in any planetary demonstration. And they stick to their posts. These lords stick to their assigned post. And they are somewhat cognizant of the Maya which has been gathered. Which has been gathered for expression. Okay. Now, the eye through which these lotus lords look out upon the great illusion is upward turned, and the other eye was inward turned. Is that correct? The eye through which the first group of lotus lords contact the planes of cosmic vision is inward turned. So they are not cognizant of the higher beings, to which they have to learn to be responsive on this path as carriers of the impression of will. So the eye through which these lotus lords look out upon the great illusion is upward turned. They see that which lieth above, just above them. We would say to which they are to be responsive, exquisitely responsive, immediately responsive. They onward look to that vast mountaintop which pierceth through the circumscribing wheel. So they know the sources of initiation, their own initiation. They are in touch with what for them are the higher powers. This mountaintop shineth with radiant light, reflected from the face of him whom the lords of worlds within our solar sphere have never seen. So the light, the radiant light, is from a cosmic being, which is it from the solar logos? Well, we would say the lords of worlds have, in a sense, seen the solar logos. It would seem they have. But the solar logos, they have seen. Maybe not fully. But what of the cosmic logos? What of the one about whom naught may be said? What of these great constellational and super-constellational lords? They are not seeing him, but there is a reflected light upon the mountaintop of achievement. What for them is achievement? So they are learning to stand within the purpose and indications of these higher influences. They learn to stand within the purposes and indications of these higher influences. So one so far, one group of Lotus Lords looks within and is oblivious of all that is for them environmental. The next group looks above and seeks to conform by straightly standing with the higher requirements. Now we come to the third group. Is the strange, mysterious triple group of adepts who are on this path of the planetary logoi and its very long training period, whose name must not be heard as yet within the planetary spheres. In other words, within the planetary spheres, their identity is concealed. So, their identity is concealed, whose color blends not with the blue in just proportion. Well, what is this blue? We are working within the field of expression of the blue logos. And as it is said, let one color blend them and their unity appear. This is, of course, said in relation to Rule 9 for applicants, but it has probably a higher correspondence. These lords must learn to blend with the all-pervading blue. Now, when it comes to our particular planetary logos, the color is blue and green. But I think this is in a cosmic, we're dealing here with a cosmic sense. We're talking about cosmic vision. And I suppose even on the cosmic etheric plane, some degree of cosmic vision can be had, but these groups of lords are destined for the cosmic mental plane. And the question is, as groups are destined for the cosmic mental plane, do they have to work their way through the cosmic astral plane first? So we have three groups of lords in training. And if we look together, we have a five, you know. There are really five. The first two groups plus a triple group, which is the last. Now, what are the different stages through which a trainee on this path must pass? Well, there are, you know, the path of the Manus, let us say, the path of the, and the different kinds of Manus, seed and root Manus, the path of the globe lords, whose body of expression is precisely a planetary globe, the process of becoming a chain lord, the process of becoming a Buddha of activity. See, this is kind of interesting because a Buddha of activity, in a way, is not even a globe lord. There are correspondences to the Kumaras on the globe. The Buddhas of activity are expressions that are found in relation to our globe, and there are other Buddhas of activity, I suppose, on other globes. Yet somehow, through emanation, all of these different, apparently different beings are really one. There are some higher Buddhas connected with the chain. And DK tells us about that. And three great existences, which are not called Buddhas of activity at all, which are connected with the scheme. There are many different departments. I probably am only naming a few through which the adept aspirant to this path of the planetary logos can pass and can fulfill some sort of type of learning and expression. But the number five is going to be important, I think we'll see. The eye through which these lotus lords gaze out upon the cosmic path is outward turned. Okay, and what is, and remember that the cosmic path, this cosmic path, is leading to the cosmic mental plane, but perhaps at first within the energy system of the solar logos. This eye is outward turned. It's an indigo eye. Its hue is indigo. It's very deep blue. The eye through which the middle group of lotus lords looks up is turquoise blue, and we could say that it has, with the blue, an admixture of green. Whilst the lords of deep, unmoving slumber gaze in to the inner worlds and not worried about manifestation at all through the sapphire blue. So we have indigo, turquoise blue, and sapphire blue. And it should be said, by the way, that Sanat Kumara is said to sit upon a sapphire throne. Thus is the triple way of blue formed into one. Now, of course, there are many planetary logoi whose color is not blue by any means, nor are their rays. The eye of Shiva is said to be the blue eye. And in this blue solar system, attunement with the will of the solar logos requires the expression of blue of some kind. The turquoise, I'm just making associations here, a turquoise, Q-U-O, turquoise is related, says the Tibetan, with Aquarius. Now, you know, it's probably the blending of the blue and green, and a lightening of the color. Well, perhaps with the blending of the green comes the lightening of the color. So eyes look in, look up, and look out. And the sapphire is particularly, I wonder if it's connected in some way with Venus for the Lord of Venusian love. I mean, each one of these blues will have a meaning, but the each of the blues have a meaning. But the indigo is the color of the synthetic ray of the solar system. And so that has to be taken into consideration. In a way, it is the most solar of the colors. This latter aspect of the Eye of Shiva directs the other two and gathers all its energy from a far distant sphere. Well, okay, this is the sapphire blue. And it appears this latter aspect of the Eye of Shiva. Now let's see which one we mean. The eye through which the Lotus Lords gaze out upon the cosmic path is outward turned. Its hue is indigo. So this is the latter group. And I assume this is the latter group of Lotus Lords. Gaze out upon the cosmic path, and it is outward turned, and it is responsible. It is the responsible, nourishing eye, in a way. The eye through which the middle group of Lotus Lords looks up is turquoise blue, whilst the lords of deep, unmoving slumber gaze in through sapphire blue. So here we are talking about not the order in which they were just presented, but the actual order. This latter aspect of the Eye of Shiva, how should we call it? Well, we can call it the Eye of Indigo, in a way. The Eye of Indigo directs the other two, you know, as it is most connected with the solar logos. I sometimes, you know, wish I didn't have to type. Maybe I don't have to, but I'm thinking that this is complicated material and it's easy to lose one's bearings because we're dealing constantly with symbols and abstractions that relate to nothing in our field of experience. So I type along, but then my words falter, as my typing is only so-so. But this latter aspect of the Eye of Shiva, so there are, you know, there's really one Eye of Shiva, and it has three colors. The Eye of Shiva is a blue eye, but there are three shades to it, and through the three shades, different sights are seen. And the last one is the most synthetic and gathers all its energy from a far distant cosmic sphere. Okay, what path is this? The path of the planetary logoi, and are we speaking of Betelgeuse or of Orion, possibly. And Sagittarius, Can Sagittarius be called a sphere? Sagittarius is involved. But any life is a sphere. Any life in cosmos is essentially a sphere. The two respond, and I suppose the other two eyes, and in the treading of the cosmic way, so to the indigo eye and to the outward looking, well, you see, the thing is, I don't think anything is sacrificed by outward looking. Is anything really sacrificed by outward looking? Is not the indigo eye the one with the greatest capacity, including what the other eyes see? Interesting here. No, you see, we are talking, are we not? Remember, about cosmic vision, deva hearing, and the, correlation, psychic correlation of the self and the not-self. So the two what, you know, other eyes respond, and in the treading of the cosmic way to the cosmic mental plane, eventually, weave triple force into that path which meets the need of those who later seek to tread it. So what can we say? That everyone who treads the path is preparing the way for those who tread the path after them. So all who tread this path are preparing the way for those who come after. And perhaps those who tread the path now will find much preparation already made. They see, they hear, they dream, and dreaming build. But they see and they hear. This is the devic hearing, deva hearing. They dream and dreaming build. They are not just in their own world. The three together now are able to cooperate with complete duties of the, let's just say, the complete duties of the planetary logos are now covered by the three. Their eyes are blind, their ears are deaf, and yet they are not dumb. They have a voice. So the two respond, and in the treading of the cosmic way, weave triple force into that path which meets the need of those who later seek to tread it. And this is the point. Every treading of a path, every preparation to tread such a path, is an act of service. This is not just a selfish acquisition. It's all arranged so that whatever anyone does in a positive sense serves others. So, preparing to tread these cosmic paths. Oh, cosmic paths. And actually treading them is an act of service. It takes many, many years to prepare and to move. As a disciple is training himself to be the disciple, that training is an act of service to others. It's a cleansing, a purification, improvement of the environment. It has its effect. We're not dealing at all with selfish acquisition. So every act of such a high adept, who is by now a Chohan, is an act of service, actually. Who are the they here? They see, they hear, they dream, and dreaming build. Okay. And yet their eyes are blind, their ears are deaf, and yet they are not dumb. They have a voice. They sound the several cosmic words and weave the seven with the 12 and multiply the five. Well, at least we know from the symbol what they are doing. From the symbol for this path, the one which we are allowed to receive, we have a cross with a long arm, and it has seven colors of the spectrum, maybe seven notes correlated with those seven colors. We have a short arm which has 12 colors of hue with which we are not familiar. And we have a five-pointed star in the center. So there is a combination here of all of these threads of energy. And multiplying the five, well, it's difficult to know exactly what this means, but we can relate it to the five-pointed star at the center of this cross. So we can relate the five to the five-pointed star at the center of the cross and to the five types of Lotus Lords, each type having its own relation to the 19 energies, which must be woven together to make a planetary manifestation. Thus are the planets built, and thus guided, ruled, and known. So let's just say that those adepts who are on this path do not have to wait until they are a planetary logos in order to contribute to the building and guiding and ruling of the multi-leveled planetary sphere. Even on, as a an adept on this path, one is contributing to the building, guiding, ruling, ruling of the planetary sphere. And they are known in differing degrees by the different Lotus Lords. The progressively developed Lotus Lords know the planet, the planetary scheme, in differing degrees. Now we know that even now among the planetary lords there are different levels of unfoldment. We have the simple three categories, which are the non-sacred planets, the sacred planets, and the synthesizing planets. And we will also have the chains within those planets and the globes within those planets, and we will have different types of lives who work within the globes and the schemes. Globes and chains and schemes. So it's all too complex to know all these different lives, except that we realize it is a hierarchy, and that on the way to becoming a planetary logos, the lives which are being taught on this path supervise different levels of the planetary expression. Finally, a kind of cosmic vision from the cosmic mental plane will be theirs. Finally, a cosmic vision from the cosmic mental plane will be theirs. Now, we have to look back at a difficult section here where it says, they see, they hear, they dream, and dreaming builds. So they are fully capable and responsible. they are in touch with their own inner meditation and what must emerge from it, and they see and hear above and below. But what is the meaning of their eyes are blind, their ears are deaf? Does this mean that they hear with the one ear, that they see with the one eye, but that the dual reflections of the one, which are the normalized and the normal ears, are not used? And maybe that's what it means. The normal eyes, and the normal ears, of which there are two each, are not utilized. They use the single eye and the single ear. But they do sound. They do sound a note. And there are cosmic words of formation. They sound the several cosmic words. How many cosmic words? How many cosmic words? Enough to build a planet and its various spheres. And I suppose they become more and more proficient at sounding the fullness of the cosmic words as they progress until we reach the kind of word which a full planetary logos can sound. Well, I think what we should do, you know, as I say, I think I'm handicapping myself somewhat by trying to type as I go along. I wonder if it is helpful for you. It's probably painful to watch all the misspellings. It is painful for me, and it slows me down, and it makes my thought process in some ways less coherent. I seem to be better when I talk and not type. At the same time, we are anchoring certain thoughts for review. And we are trying to pin down certain abstractions which are so difficult, in a way, to deal with. Because, as I say, they refer to factors which are not at all a part of our present experience. One does not know in one's emanative descent, as a monad taking on deeper and deeper levels of immersion, what one encountered on the way. All of that is, to our present consciousness, forgotten. But at least at the moment, these factors are not part of our experience. So I think the thing that I should do here, this is on page, it all starts around page 1272. For the sake of coherency, I think it is best to turn to the here it is. Turn to Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 1272, and read the whole thing, if I can possibly do so without inserting comments. See, I always find the things that I missed and want to insert the comments. The Eye of Shiva, this is the Path 3. The training for planetary logoi. The Eye of Shiva opens wide, and those within its range of vision awaken to another form of sleep. They sleep, but yet they see and hear. Their eyes are closed, yet naught that passes in the greater cosmic seven is missed by them. They see, and yet they vision not, they hear, and yet their ears are deaf. So in summary, they are inwardly, upwardly turned, even though eventually they are also outwardly turned. Three times the Eye of Shiva closes, and three times it opens wide. Thus three great groups of Lotus Lords are impelled upon their way, upon this path of training for planetary Logar. One group is called the Lotus Lords of Deep Unseeing Sleep. They dream, and as their dreams take form, the worlds speed on. The great and cruel Maya of the Plains of Sweet Illusion comes into being, draws into its snare the points of unconnected light, and dims their luster. Thus is the work pursued. The eye through which these Lotus Lords contact the planes of cosmic vision is inward turned. They see not that which is upon the outer rim. The second group has for its name the Lords of the Inner Lotus. These are they who sleep yet not so deep. They wake enough to guard themselves from straying, or the secret ring pass not, which rims the great illusion. They straightly stand, that's standing in alignment with the higher source, and through their very steadfastness, the forms are held together. The eye through which these Lotus Lords looks out upon the great illusion is upward turned. They see but that which lies just above them, which lieth just above them. They outward look to that vast mountain top, that which pierceth through the circumscribing wheel. This mountain top shineth with radiant light, reflected from the face of him whom the lords of worlds within our solar sphere have never seen, and we have these separating dots or stars which tell us there's some sort of exclusion here. More has been said, apparently, than can be given. The third group is the strange, mysterious triple group whose name must not be heard as yet within those planetary spheres whose color blends not with the blue in just proportion, and that's what is needed, that all of the planetary Logoi and the parts of their systems will blend with the all-pervading blue, the blue eye and the blue system. The eye through which these Lotus Lords gaze out upon the cosmic path is outward turned. Its hue is indigo. The eye through which the middle group of Lotus Lords look up is turquoise blue, whilst the lords of deep unmoving slumber gaze in through sapphire blue. Thus is the way of triple blue formed into one. The latter aspect of the eye of Shiva directs the other two and gathers all its energy from a far distant cosmic sphere. DK has hinted at the meaning of these spheres, what they might be, the line along which the cosmic energy descends. Betelgeuse is involved, and probably Orion. The two respond, and in the treading of the cosmic way, i.e. to the cosmic mental plane, weave triple force into that path which meets the need of those who later seek to tread it. They see, they hear, they dream. We're speaking of the Lotus Lords, and dreaming build, and then paradoxically their eyes are blind, their ears are deaf, and yet they are not dumb. They sound the several cosmic words and weave the seven with the 12 and multiply the 5. And these cosmic words we have seen spread out on the cosmic physical plane to give some idea. The A, the AU, the AUM. Well, I'll show you in a minute. Thus are the planets built, because there's another break here. We're only given fragments, actually. Thus are the planets built, thus guided, ruled, and known. And when we, I think I'll open up one more of these. And this will also be in a treatise on cosmic fire, excuse me, and love song, no, poem. Maybe this is where we are, and here it is. So these are some of the perhaps cosmic words, especially the ones that are sounding on the cosmic etheric planes. There are other words, but we are interested in creating a solar system and the lotuses of the planetary logoi, which serve the solar logos, the monad of the solar logos. So the sound A, the sound AU, the sound AUM, and then also on the cosmic ether is a septenary word, the seven-syllabled word. The logoic etheric centers become active. See, so this is in relation to the solar logos and to the planetary logos, how many of the centers around the Buddhic plane, we cannot be entirely sure. I've tried to show that in man, at least, not all centers are found on the fourth ether, but centers are found on the other ethers as well. I mean, there's the possibility that on the Buddhic plane, on different levels of the Buddhic plane, the different centers are found. That's possible. But the real correspondence would show that all of the cosmic ethers have to have their centers. And indeed, there are centers of first-ray ashrams on the atmic plane, and there are seven great groups of lives on the monadic plane, and three great groups, I suppose, which are not mentioned on page 39 of Letters on Occult Meditation. They are on the logoic plane. So those are things which still have to be solved. But these are cosmic words because they deal with the expression of cosmic lives, remembering that the planetary logos and the solar logos are, both of them, cosmic lives. So we're about ready to begin the path to Sirius. It might be good to have just a little review. Maybe it's quite a big review, but as we would pass through the, I think I went a little too far, huh? As we would pass through the text we have used, maybe certain points would jump out at us. We're summarizing here the path of magnetic work. And so here we are. You know, it's never enough to look at something once or even twice. One has to ponder it, immerse oneself in it, steep oneself in it. So they're taking up the work of the seven planetary logoi, of the next system, and the 49 subplanetary logoi, and the assistants and certain other entities that work in that particular department, and these are not specified. So there are many fields of expression for those upon this path, some relatively lowly and climaxing with the expression as a planetary logos, and it's a very long system of training. We're interested in the three major solar systems, even though there are seven systems. Are there seven literal systems, or do they occur in the eternal now? Ray Chohan's train people, maybe on certain planets, for this path. And they have aptitude in color and sound. And so I said, well, okay, they have to have those on the fourth ray soul would be suited here, especially when combined with the third ray, for the weaving power. They are the divine psychologists, just reviewing. and psychology of a cosmic kind is their basic subject. Each planetary logos, each in his own special planet, has in his own special planet schools for the development of subordinate logoi. Well, this can mean that from every planetary logos can direct those on this path towards a particular planet for training of the subordinate logoi. And a chain lord and a globe lord, these are subordinate logoi. A Manu is a kind of subordinate logos. And there's training there for high office, and the logoi are pressing onward. But every planetary logos has in his own special planet. Now this can either mean, it can mean two things, you know. On his own planet, or on a special planet related to him. Such as, we do some training here on our planet, we're told, and also in relation to Venus, but Jupiter is the destination. Few tread this path. Two factors are present, Atma and Buddhi. There is sense perception, which is the outward gazing sensitivity, plus identification with the spiritual aspect. Both are needed together. And these are interesting names, those whose Maya Virupa continuously recurs. In a way, their planet is a Maya, Maya Virupa. They're working primarily on the subjective side of life, and they're connected with a certain center in the body of the one about whom naught may be said, which is the source of conscious sensation. They're connected with a solar plexus. So we can see that if Betelgeuse is connected with this great constellation, there can be some solar plexus meaning to the constellation Orion. Anyway, they are vitalized from the solar plexus, and we wondered whether that is our local cosmic logos, in which our solar system has its part, along with other solar logoi. That great existence whose all-embracing vitality holds our logos, along with the other solar logoi. Are we the solar plexus? We may be our local cosmic logos, but then again, we have to consider the great constellation Orion and what role it plays on this path. The connection of the second ray, of course, to psychology is well known. But there is a solar plexus connection here in the cosmos. The adepts, these lotus lords, are called the lords of cosmic Maya. They will create a Maya to the perceiving consciousness. They create an illusion in consciousness. We might even say they artistically create an illusion in consciousness. And they work with the relation of the knower to the known, and this is their philosophical work. There's much of the abstraction of the third ray involved here. This is not the worlds of human endeavor that we are working with. Those who can train themselves for this have cosmic vision, deva hearing, and psychic correlation. At least these are the attributes which a man begins to have and which predispose him for this type of work. So the adept on this third path has a special connection with the energy which emanates from those cosmic centers which are related to spiritual vision and spiritual hearing. And we've talked about which ones of the cosmic centers these may be, which ones of the constellations in the one about whom naught may be said these may be. Orion has spiritual vision, and the Pleiades are connected with spiritual hearing, but less connected is he with the sense of touch. And they have the power to correlate the self and the not-self. We're in the section of the book dealing with spirit. This tells us what type of arhats and take up this kind of work and what their destiny will be. This is a repeat. The source of this peculiar energy is found streaming towards our system along this cosmic path is that of the sun Betelgeuse, and this may be the blind for Orion, using the part to represent the whole. Betelgeuse is a kind of heart center, a kind of system of the second order, at least within Orion it appears to be. And our solar system, one of the fourth order, it has to do with the degree of initiation of the solar logos, a higher degree of initiation found in Betelgeuse. The main work is to make possible the manifestation of the monad of the solar logos through the medium of the body of consciousness or through the soul form. And these are lotuses, are the soul forms. The lotuses of the planetary logoi are the soul forms. And also, I suppose, there is a gathering on those soul forms of more objective forms. So they're working on a high level. They are building on a high level. They are not concerned with objectivity, so they are a building in the dimensions of the soul. And this is where their structures are found. They have a relationship to the fifth hierarchy, which gives to man his egoic body. They do not give to the planetary or solar logoi their egoic body, but they do build lotus forms through which can be expressed the being and quality of the solar logos. They approach through the department of the Mahachohan, and they come under the supervision of one of the Buddhas of activity, and eventually even under two Buddhas of activity. We have not differentiated which ones. They work with color, with sound, and with the nature of duality that we've talked about before. Their method is called prismatic identification, and they understand the song of life, and they are involved with the heavenly choir. They're involved with the mixing of sound and color so that a planetary manifestation can be produced. I might as well put that down. A mixing of sound and color so that a planetary manifestation can be produced. When finally such a trainee can take up the office of a planetary logos, he can do this to perfection. He also is ready for a great sacrifice. The symbol, as we've talked about, has the long arm and the short arm of the cross with altogether 19 different colors. There's a indigo star on it and a deep sun of warm blue. And there are different planetary schools, maybe seven such schools, where this type of training is undergone. They develop the capacity for cosmic etheric vision. We don't know how far that goes. Perhaps it's developed right here in our solar system. There, this path is concerned with the construction of the logoic lotuses of the solar logoi. The schools are lotus lands, and the adepts on this path enter into a lotus sleep. And we've learned there are three different kinds of lotus sleep. The lotus sleep which they enter into is a type of solar samadhi, a kind of samadhi within the solar system. And the training is undergone on the higher levels of the atmic plane. And so these are the, this is the summary of all this, and we've reviewed it. The training goes on in certain major planetary schemes. Not a great number are involved, as we've said. They are not really an incarnation in this training, and they receive instruction from the Council Chamber of Shambhala, from the Buddhas of Activity, and eventually from Sanatkumara himself. Eventually they complete their training on Venus. Some of them do. We have to bear in mind that this is a path which has to do with psyche, and they're involved with the subtler expressions or impressions upon consciousness, and with higher states of identification. And they are building the systemic and cosmic aspects of the Antikarana, and they are intermediaries. They are building rainbow bridges from planet to planet, system to system, and plane to plane in a cosmic sense. They are purposes to transmit the will aspect of the solar logos to the various council chambers. And when they become planetary logoi, they will register the purpose of some solar logos. And their function will be the gradual evolutionary impartation of the will of such a logos. The second thing is, other than their association with psyche, is that they are creators eventually of all forms of planetary life. They are the directing builders and creators eventually of all forms of cosmic life. And they are the synthesis of Atma and Buddhi, so they are will and spiritual love in a more unified form than any on any of the other cosmic paths. They have this strong connection with the Buddhas of Activity. They will attain the status of Buddhas of Activity before they become planetary logoi. A study of the exalted form of the science of impression is theirs. And he has to, a planetary logos has to impress his sevenfold body and states of consciousness with his own will and intention and with that of the solar logos. And they can get themselves into greater states of receptivity to the impression which must come to them. It's a very long training, but they are not conscious of time, and DK discusses the limitations of the brain and its sequential processing with our sense of time. Time may exist, but not as humanity understands it. Okay. So these masters provide bridges and links between the monad on the monadic plane and the three worlds of dense expression. Their function as intermediaries, as sustainers of various kinds of antikaranas, is strong. They eventually will confine themselves and be known as the great sacrifice. And then we've gone through the archaic stanza, I think, and sufficiently. Well, you know, I hate to leave any of these, and I think I can see where it would have been useful to do this kind of review for each one, emphasizing the high points. There's so much to remember, and it is of so abstruse a nature. But it is possible, and maybe we should do such reviews. So we've gone through the archaic stanza, and we have talked about the three types of Lotus Lords and their inward, upward, and outward orientations, and the ways in which they can see, hear, and dream, and build, and yet not see and not hear, but still sound the notes of coherence which can build the lower system. So we're getting our first glimpse of how the planets are built, guided, ruled, and known. And think, it takes, you know, think here. It takes many Mahamanvantaras to complete this process from the time one is a Chohan choosing this path. All right, friends, we'll call it at that, and we'll say that this is the end, if I only could type, end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries number 24A, Path of Higher Evolution Compilation, page 91, and we'll begin with Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 25A, Paths of Higher Evolution, Compilation, page 91. And we're just about ready to get into the all-important path, at least for humanity, the path of Sirius. And DK says very little can be communicated about this path, but he does go on quite a bit, and he does, in fact, communicate important information for us. So, onward we go, inadequate though it is. Hopefully some sparks of ideas are seen and the ideas are planted and at some point can be developed and all of the necessary connections seen. But pretty well we have to be high students. We have to be adepts studying these paths. The choice is no longer made at the fifth degree, and the adept must study and make the choice at the sixth degree, and the period of study can be a long one, because the adept, the master, is retained quite a while in the service of the of Sanakumara, of the planetary logos, and, you know, maybe 2,000 years can elapse, maybe more, while the master serves and prepares to make his decision. So in a few encounters with this material, we can only get the vaguest idea about that which lies ahead, but we have to know our limitations. It's not easy to know one's limitations, but we have to accept them, and if we could see from the universal logoic perspective, I can't say what we would be, you know. Less than an atomic particle, a subatomic particle, what would we be? We'd be probably a lesser form of life than that. So a certain amount of patience is required, a great patience and the ability to enter into the state of timelessness. This would be very important. Okay, well, we did that, and we'll head on to the path of Sirius next. See you then.